The Holy Gospel today is taken from the 10th chapter of Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. I helped a pastor move once in the Bay Area, Pastor Susan, and she had this chair, and we hauled it to her house, and it didn't fit. And she's like, "What should I do with it?" And I said, "Well, I know a person who might want it. That's me." It's a beautiful rocking chair, and, well, it's beautiful because it fits a larger person. So that's why I like this chair. I went to a movie last weekend with a friend, and we went to an AMC theater. If you haven't been to an AMC theater, there's a new thing there. There's the regular line, which we were in. You know, you snake into it, and then you get served, and there was one person taking the tickets. And then there's this other line, which we didn't really, you don't notice unless there's other people around. So as we're going in the long line, it's just me and Matt waiting to go purchase our tickets. While we're going in that line, one, two, three, six people go in this other line. It's like, what's going on? And so, you know, we get to the end of our line, and we wait, and we wait. That line was the priority line. That line was the privilege line. If you're, I can't remember what the term is for AMC. Every theater has, I think, or is moving towards this. They had a priority over us. So that person got served, those two, that person. And finally us. They had the priority in that moment. I think that relates very much to the text that we heard, the story that we heard today about Jesus with John and James, and them talking about priority. "Jesus, we want to be with you. I mean, we've been with you, but we want to be right there at the side. We want to be the first. We want to be the ones that are there." And Jesus turns the table and says, "Well, among us, that's not how it's going to work. You haven't been listening, but you're not going to be first. You're going to be last and serve." And in fact, that's what the Son of Man came for, was to ransom the many. That is, to release or to free the many. So the question is, in this text, is what does Jesus free us to do? Or from what is Jesus freeing us? Well, I think it does have to do with priority and privilege. I looked up the word privilege, and it means private law. It's a law just for you. You get it. Nobody else is. It's your privilege to have it. Well, Jesus in this gospel and the scripture throughout talks about God's grace is for everyone. So that's the private law that we all get. All of us get a share of God's grace. God loves us. There's nothing we can do about it. Available to every one of us. All of us sitting here now. All of us not sitting here who are sitting someplace else. Maybe not in a chair quite as comfortable as mine. But grace is available for everyone. That's the privilege that we get, that we have. And the priority is Jesus said, the bottom line that comes to this, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the priority. If you know God's grace, then you have the privilege of love, getting to love your neighbor. Now, a neighbor can be someone who's super far away, who's completely different than you because of skin color, because of socioeconomic status, because of, dare I say, politics, because, well, someone who's completely different than you. So that's kind of one end of the spectrum of neighbors. And then as we get closer, we get, you know, casual friends, someone we've met before, to good friends, family, that intimate partner that you may have, a bride, a husband. Now we know who that neighbor is because we might live with them. Or it might be literally the neighbor next door. So we know who neighbors are. But I think Jesus, at this text, gets at the privilege of grace to prioritize the neighbor, from the stranger or the completely other person to family. And I think what Jesus is saying is, I want you to invite your neighbor into this grace, into this love, into the goodness that you receive. Now, usually when I talk about reaching out, you may have heard me mention maybe a homeless person. You know, we got to reach out to the homeless. That's not the sermon that I'm going to talk about, or the topic I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about that neighbor that's a little closer to us, that family member, that friend, that coworker. Because I believe Jesus is calling us to invite that person here to our service, to this place, to this gathering. Grace is something that is beyond us. It's something that transcends us. It's from God, we say. And I saw a wonderful definition of what awe means, like A-W-E, awe. And it's the emotion of self-transcendence. It's what you feel when you really feel that you there's some things, the vastness of the earth is beyond you, that sense of awe. I mean, I'm sure you've all experienced awe before if you've seen a sunset or a sunrise. I've seen sunsets, sunrises. I'm not a morning person, but I'm sure they're the same as sunsets. Or Mount Rainier in its glory, or hiking, or in the news when you hear there's a church shooting and the people start praying for that shooter and saying, I forgive that shooter. It's that sense of awe, like that is beyond, it's beyond me. Where else can that be from but from God? And that act of forgiveness in that sense, I believe, is the deepest, most powerful thing that we do as humans. How we love our neighbor through forgiveness, it's a powerful act. That's why we include confession in the beginning of the service. We don't always have it, but I think we're going to have it a little more frequently, because it's a great reminder that God loves us and we are beloved, forgiven children of God. And when we come back again, we're going to need that reminder again. I declare to you the entire forgiveness of your sins. We can't hear that enough. So Jesus, back to invitation. Jesus, I think, is inviting us into something, into this service. This what I would call awful service. And I mean A-W-E, full, filled with awe, awful service. It's another word for reverent submission. In the Hebrews text, it talks about Jesus being reverently submissing. I would suggest that for us, it is awfully knowing the awesomeness of God and being in God's service because of what we know and what we experience. And these are the four things, that I think we are invited to in this service. I mentioned the first thing about forgiveness. It's unburdening. We all carry burdens. We all carry them. And they are heavy sometimes. And this has to be the place where we can let them go, where they can be lifted up. Sometimes God can do that. Sometimes it's through others. Sometimes it's through a song. Sometimes it's through the bread and the wine. Just sticking your finger and remembering your baptism in the water. But that unburdening, it's the relief of a heavy load. That's what it means to unburden something. Forgiveness and reconciliation. That's the first thing, unburdening. And then the other three words are, well, we heard about zucchini, so they're sort of more gardeny words, but nurturing and cultivating and tending. Nurturing means feed or cherish or nourish. This is it's the only joke I'm going to say. It's the aha moment. The aha. But it's when we receive the Spirit, something beyond us comes and takes over. We feel it. We know it. There's something more that's happening, and it's a good thing, and it's a cleansing thing, and I need this. I need this. And then cultivating, which means to inhabit a land with something. And for me, that means when we come together, that's the grace piece. Our lives are once again infused with grace. You know, in a recipe, add a little of this and then add this secret thing. Then when you take a sip or a bite, like, ooh, that is good. Because it has that little thing, that little piece. That's what makes it. What is the best thing? In infusing the body with God's grace. Unburdening, nurturing, cultivating, and tending. That means to stretch or to push in a direction. I just recently had a massage because my bride gave me a gift at Christmas. I finally utilized it. That was the shortest 60-minute massage I've ever had. It felt like it was 3 minutes, and it was like, that's all? But it was so glorious, and this person knew what they were doing and found the spots and worked them out, smoothed the rough places for the moment, anyway. That's how massages are. They're temporary. But that's kind of what this service can be as well, massaging our bodies, massaging the soul. To find peace. Have peace among you, Jesus said a couple of weeks ago in another text in Mark. Have peace among you. The way you do that is come here and let God do God's work. And we love each other as neighbors here, infusing each other with grace and love and forgiveness. So this text is about invitation. And what does that invitation look like? Well, I believe what it looks like is like that priority line I talked about. We have a seat that we've reserved for people who aren't here, who need to be unburdened and nurtured and cultivated and tended to by God's grace and love and mercy and forgiveness. So this is my challenge to you, is to think of a person or two or ten who aren't sitting here now but certainly could use a seat here. This is the priority seat. It's the privileged line. Who needs to be here? Who needs to be here that you know in your life? That's the question about invitation. One of the phrases I use sometimes is, if you don't ask, Terry,
you don't get.
Yep, and you don't know. If you don't ask, you don't get, and you don't know. And some of you may have invited people to come sit in the privileged chair. And for whatever reason, they haven't come yet. You know, there's also the squeaky wheel, you know. but they may. And our job is simply to keep asking, to keep inviting. There's a chair for you. I know you're hurting. There's a chair for you. I know you're in a happy place in your life. There's a chair for you to give thanks. But there is a chair for you. And when that person does come, then Jesus says, among you, this is what it's going to look like. You're going to be a servant sitting by them. And you're going to invite them to a place where, well, this is what Jesus says. I don't want you by me, he says to John and James. I want you by the people I have been by, at their feet. That's what it means to be a servant. Jesus says, I will take care of the rest. If they come here, I'll be here. Because in this Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, I'm going on to Galilee. That's where I'm going to meet you after the resurrection. And then in other places, he says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be at the ends of the world. I'm going to be there. In fact, wherever two or three of you are gathered, I will be there. I promise. That's the promise. Just save a chair for your neighbor. That's God's way. Baptism, the cup that we share, when he talks about that, it's to share the power of forgiveness at this table. It's to be cleansed with the life-giving water and spirit. The spirit-enhanced water of baptism. It's to be renewed at confession with a declaration of your entire sins are forgiven. You are a loved child of God. Jesus says, the way of the world may be the first, but the way of God urges us to serve first. But among you, he says, sit at your neighbor's feet. This is the priority. It's your privilege. This is how it will be among you. Amen.